to the Cozy Impact Pod. Malia!
Julia!
We're back after
6 months?
We are back. I think it was August 3rd or 5th, I want to say. Something like that. Because, yeah, it's been some time.
It has. It's not like we haven't talked since then, but
yeah, we talk a lot.
Yeah, we talk a lot. What's been going on with you at the last 6 months or so?
Oh my gosh. Well, the last time we had one of these moments was right when I broke my ankle. And if anyone was there, I actually remember talking about this in the last session. And I was like, I think I sprained my ankle really badly and it was broken. So this has been many months of journey and change and rupture and destruction and rebuilding. And incredibly informative, I'll say.
Yeah. And I remember we did the episode on like a Thursday or Friday and you were in bed and in pain. And then I got a really hilarious audio message from you on Monday. That was definitely still in recovery after the surgery.
Oh,
just
gosh.
Like, hi, I'm just out of the surgery. It turns out it was broken.
I don't remember this. Oh my gosh. But I remember actually right when I got out of surgery, I told my husband that I needed to do my correspondence. Like I was all drugged up and I was like, I need to do my correspondence. Get all the people. I need to send voice notes to everyone.
Well, I feel very honored to have been on that list.
Gosh. Well, welcome everyone who's here listening live. This is a live podcast recording of Brain Tickles with Julia Firestone and myself, Malia Wright-Marer. And if you haven't been here before, Julia and I obviously have the best conversations. Like we've said, we've been talking the last 5 months. We just haven't recorded them. So we are back live and recording these conversations. And we really get inspired about things that excite us and confuse us and make our brains tickle. And we'll be showing up to basically share what our collective synapses are firing on topics that are relevant to being conscious and for impactful people. So Julia, I'm so happy to start the new year with you. This is such a joy and a gift. So Julia here is an IFS. I just went through a whole internal family systems program in the fall.
Hey, I did train in IFS actually too.
So. Well, then she is IFS certified.
She's not certified.
Okay. She trained in IFS. So Julia is an ICF certified transformational coach who partners with social impact do-gooders and troublemakers to help find your unique spark, take up space, and thrive. Can I say about what people call you?
Oh yeah, of course. Did I move that?
I might have deleted it on accident, but some call her the social impact fairy godmother.
Just muted myself to type. Thanks, Malia. I'm so glad to be here with you starting off the new year. If you don't already know, you should, because Malia Wright-Marer lives deeply for curiosity, creating open spaces for detangling and exploration. She focuses on transformation in the field of DEIA with a background as a counselor in integrative somatic healing. Some call her the Wise Earth Mama.
Ugh, I love our new bios.
Yeah. They're so, hopefully you love them too, because they're a lot shorter.
Yeah. So Julia, this whole topic today is something that we've been very passionate about for years. And I know we've had these conversations around New Year's pressures and New Year's resolutions. And that's really our focus, is kind of in the conversation of what are we doing and how does this affect our brains and our bodies and the way we feel about ourselves, and how can this be empowering, and how can it actually create more stressors and other layers of limitation for us. So before we dive into it, Julia, I hear you have some pretty interesting New Year's resolution origins and facts about them. So I'd love to hear about them.
Right. I realized before we started this recording that I didn't even know the history or context of New Year's and of resolutions. So I thought I would do a little research. And what I learned is that ancient Babylonians were the first documented to celebrate New Year's 4,000 years ago, or even a bit more. But they actually started their year in March, just after they planted the seeds for the future harvest. But it was actually, this really surprised me, it was actually Julius Caesar who changed the calendar to start January 1st.
Good old Julius.
Right. And wait, Malia, do you know where the word January comes from?
No, I don't.
So it actually comes from Janus, or Janus, who was the Greek spirit of doorways and archways. And when he's Roman. Yeah. Yep. My stepdaughter would be really disappointed in me because she loves ancient Greek and Roman stuff. Anyway, it was part of a society that really honored Janus as the god of looking both forward and backwards. So January 1st became a way to honor Janus, and pause to look forward and backward. But also, I'll just say, you know, we think of resolutions so much now as, setting my goal, making my commitment for self-improvement kind of thing. But for both the Babylonians and the ancient Romans and so many other ancient civilizations, it was really making commitments and oaths to the gods. And if you made a commitment, if you made an oath that you failed to follow, you would fall out of favor. And these were some pretty, could be quite like ruthless gods. And so people felt very, you know, if you make a commitment, you must follow through. So there's some built-in accountability.
Oh my God.
And if you did follow through, you know, if you gave your neighbors back stuff you borrowed, and, you know, I don't know, there were other examples, then you would be in favor with the gods. So I thought that was pretty cool to learn about.
My first question is, who's to say that you need to be in favor with the gods?
Well, I suppose before there was strong scientific understanding of things like floods, or, you know, like terrible weather patterns, or your house catching fire, you know, things like that.
Yeah. I guess,
you know, people would attribute bad stuff happening, and you're probably looking for bad stuff happening to you if you've made a commitment that you haven't followed through on. There's also that like bias, or you're like looking for bad stuff that validates that you've done wrong,
right? Or karma.
Yeah.
So interesting. Wow. Yeah. Well, speaking of New Year's resolutions, first of all, I just love hearing that origin story a little bit, because some of the things that I really love about this time of year are the pause and the reflection time, and that deep darkness that we'll dive into a little bit more later too. But even as I'm saying these words out loud, you took a deep breath, and there's a little bit of a sigh and a rest and reflection of it. And, I think when you're tying in capitalism and money making and, you know, the holidays too in itself, right, it starts to shift into something else. And so, Julia, what are some of the things you really dislike about New Year pressures?
Yeah, we we talked about this before as what grinds your gears.
What grinds your gears?
Yeah, you know, I noticed, I for like 10 minutes, I watched the New Year's Eve Times Square ball drop special this year. And I found it so weird that there's like, everyone's wearing these really ugly top hats with Planet Fitness advertising on them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're like really not cute. And I think just something about that is like, we're tapping into your own like body shame and self-loathing to sell you stuff. And I think that's like the worst version, the worst side of New Year's is so much about that. It's like really taking advantage, I think, of people's sense of shame or things they don't feel good about in themselves.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about goals too, but I think also there are some huge expectations we put on ourselves around goals that can also make it really tough. What about you, Malia? What grinds your gears about New Year's?
I feel, oh my gosh, like this time of year is such an interesting time of year because in one way there's reflection, there's time, there's space, there's what do I want? But I remember actually when I was a kid, this is where the grinding of the gears happens, right? Always in childhood moments, but every year I always, my New Year's resolutions were to get straight A's and to lose weight. I'm just like really feeling my 10-year-old. My 10-year-old self. And that was what my goal was like every year. And, and I think thinking back on that, it's like this reality, like getting straight A's in as a 10-year-old is equivalent to having a successful career now, or making lots of money or being super successful, doing really well. And what starts to happen in those moments is that if you do not meet these goals that you've placed for yourself at this time of year, then it does make you feel bad or like I'm not good enough or not committed enough or not consistent enough or my brain doesn't work in the right way or I don't do things like other people do things. And it is this kind of awareness of me not being able to achieve the thing. And I also really love that there's a time to reflect on it, but I think it's really important to see where that energy is placed in those intentions or goals in the new year. So I really feel like the attachment to the goal is something that I would get really tied to. And then there would be a sense of failure or self-judgment. And it's also, I was thinking about this too, is when something does go well, it's actually really hard to celebrate those things or notice those things because we live in a culture that's very strongly embedded in what's wrong. Right. Instead of what's right. And so we're always trying to fix something or fix the next thing. Or if I am better at this, then I will get the job. I'll get the partner. I'll get the promotion or whatever it is. And
totally.
And it's hard to even recognize sometimes the feeling of what's actually right. What feels good? What did I do? What have I celebrated? What do I get to celebrate?
I love that point about celebration and I want to talk more about it. And I want to, I'm really curious about those, if you're okay with continuing on 10-year-old Malia's goals for a minute. I don't want to go like fully into coaching.
Let's
you on
do
the spot
it.
Live.
This is what this is for.
But I'm really wondering where those came from, if they were from within you or if there were kind of external expectations you were feeling.
Yeah, I think definitely a little bit of both. I knew that good grades were celebrated in my household. And I also knew that my brother was also more of the rebellious child in the family. So to counter, I became very kind of more of the perfectionist, like, okay, be good, just be good, because my parents already have one child. Not that my brother was bad, like looking back, he's not that bad, but or good or bad in this way, which I think is the point, right? But in my brain, I told myself, be the good kid, because my parents can't handle another child who's not in the status quo or not in the picture perfect child, what a child is doing, what your kid is doing. And my brother's also so incredibly smart. So it's funny saying these words out loud, because I'm like, my brother, he was a great student, but a different, like a different learning style. And I think a lot of people have that. And I think me too, in different ways. But he's one of the smartest people I know. So it's kind of funny thinking about this. And then I think also in my family, I grew up a pretty chubby, adorable girl. And my family was like super lean, super, super lean. And I think I always had pressures growing up, like this is going to get into, but I think this is important to talk about, but I forget sometimes the experiences I had when I was really young, like my parents giving me, you know, Curb Your Hunger wafers and like shakes and like Slim Fast. I would just have Slim Fast when I was 10 years old, 10 years old. And that's really hard, because you're at the time, I was like, I don't know why I weigh the amount that I weigh or don't weigh the amount that I weigh. I'm just a kid and I'm just trying to navigate the world. And I actually feel really proud of myself, like seeing how much I have healed my relationship to my body and witnessed it in a different way and shifted the way I see it, and also those internal and external pressures. But I think I did have this pressure, like I was wrong. I was not doing it right when I was 10 years old. And I think kind of talking about this as a child, I don't think it's very different from how adults feel and how that repeats in those patterns throughout our lives. And here we have another year where it's a marker of time when you get to reflect and realize, whoa, this didn't happen. This did happen. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Malia. And I think, you know, we talked about body image before this conversation. And I do think at the start of the year, and like New Year's and talking about resolutions and goals, it's really relevant because it's probably like the most body shaming time of year and a time when so much of that expectation, that pressure comes up for us. And I remember, you know, feeling this, like, it was almost like a moral attachment to my body looking a particular way. And of course, especially as you're growing up, like bodies just change a lot. Bodies change as adults too. These like weird meat suit vessels that we happen to exist in. Did I just make it gross? I did. but I think, you know, the kind of moral linkage to body image is really dangerous and particularly really hard on kids. But I think we carry a lot of that into adulthood. And I'm so conscious of it too, with, you know, how I talk about body image with my 11-year-old stepdaughter. And I think too, what I hear in what you said about the grades as well is like, and if like family was handing you these the SlimFast stuff, like you longed to be, to please, to, mm-hmm. you know, to meet expectations. And mm-hmm. so to have created resolutions from that place of meeting others' expectations, of being seen and loved and celebrated by others, I think that really carries through into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious too, you know, how, like, what is the alternative to these norms? And there's probably more we can say also about what we love and dislike about New Year's pressures, but what is the alternative to kind of the ways we go about setting resolutions and goals yeah. at the start of the year?
Well, this year has been particularly very impactful. As you heard, broken ankle, surgery, not being able to use my leg, having a temporary disability, and having to navigate life and also a very ableist structure, my goodness, in a very different way. And so a lot has really shifted. And I was actually thinking about this. So every year I do a ritual, and it would be awesome to hear all of your other rituals too. Whoever is listening, I'd love to hear your rituals. Or if you don't have them, Julia and I have many, so we can help you. But one of the rituals that I do every year is just reflect on the whole year and celebrate the things of my life in different areas, whether it's health, relationships, career, creativity, adventure, financially, whatever it is, and also reflecting on the challenges and what did I move for, and also the celebration of moving through those challenges. Because sometimes these things are so difficult and hard, especially when we are in a world where we are so aware of what's happening in the world right now, yeah. especially with media and access to information. It's like so much information moving through the body, and how we move through those things collectively and personally. But I think when I always get to that end of the year and it says, what are your goals? What are your goals? Mm-hmm. For 2024, what are your goals? I always try to sit with my heart and find the thing that is just pouring out of my heart. And then it doesn't have to make sense. And I think in previous years, speaking of goals, you know, we can go on that topic now in this direction, but speaking of goals is that attachment that I have, this has been a pattern for me for many years, is having an attachment to a goal. And then if I don't achieve that goal, it makes me feel like I'm not good enough. And so I've been really practicing what it would be like to not set concrete goals, but also I want to move forward with my career. I want to do things and I want to focus on certain areas. And so this year I sat and I listened to my heart and I felt what was emerging, what was coming up, what are the patterns that I've started to notice? What are the things that I've been learning, the lessons that I've been learning? A big one for me this year was noticing how accommodating I can be and people pleasing. I know, Julia, we've talked about this, especially for those of us who are in social impact fields or helping professions, mm-hmm. like, ooh, do we mm-hmm. love to please? But noticing how we do show up and noticing that accommodation or people pleasing or just taking care of everyone else. And so noticing these patterns that have been showing up and say, ooh, now I want to be a little focused on it. I've noticed these things popping up, bubbling up. What's starting to happen? And how can I bring a little bit of fire? or intention around it. And so a huge, Julia was just asking my if I had a goal for next year. And my goal was to be in focus and let whatever fire emerges from me guide me. So it feels very different than I want to make 10K months, which that would be great. And I would love that. And let's hope for that in 2024. But I think there's something else around the energy behind it that I'm really curious about. What is that focus? Where do I want to put my intention? How do I want to listen to my body to do things that excite me and inspire me? And I've been doing that this past year, but giving that renewed sense of intention and focus and lean in to what feels really good. I want to talk more about the body stuff, but I want to hear your thoughts on that first. And if you resonate with that.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, something that I hear between the lines there is, and it's something I've talked about too, is like your goal is the antithesis of SMART goals. It's not, right? You're not like, I'm not even going to remember what it stands for. It's like something about time bound and metrics based and like, it's not those things. And so I was kind of thinking about, you've heard of like, I know your beloved, your husband works in, the culinary world. So mm-hmm. I'm sure, and you have in the past too. So I'm sure you're familiar with like the slow food movement.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking about like, what would slow habits look like or oof. Slow goals.
Let's write a book now.
I mean, if any publishers hear this and want to have us write a book on that, I really, it feels like it's an emergent concept, but I really love the idea of not setting these hard tactical concrete goals, maybe for some things, you know, but I think for others, letting it be both something that's never done. Like we talked previously about actually like both kind of falling in love with exercise, which feels icky, but it's like such a different energy. Such a different energy. Oh,
we both need to talk about this.
The start of the year, like, you know, I should energy. Like I should go to the gym 4 times a week, whatever, however many times. And, you know, beat myself up if I don't do it. And I go despite hating it. And I feel terrible before, I'm exhausted after, it sucks, but I have to do it. Like that energy versus I'm feeling super strong. I feel so good. And this is a lifelong thing. There's no point where I am like done. Like there's no point where I'm done brushing my teeth, for example, right? Like I'm never going to set a goal that's like, I'm going to brush my teeth 2 times a week. Ew, no, I'm brushing my teeth every day.
Like flossing.
I actually did, this is a sidebar, but in terms of habit forming, I was not a consistent flosser for a long time. And I came back from the dentist one day and my husband wasn't a consistent flosser either. And I was just like, I really want to be a consistent flosser. And I think we need to sort of set both like a competition and accountability to do it. And I was like, are you in? And he was like, I'm in. And so we were total obnoxious braggarts every time we flossed. We'd be like, I just flossed. Have you flossed today? And eventually it did become a habit. And now I feel icky if I don't floss.
Oh my gosh. I love that story so much. It's like, make the thing fun. Exactly. You know, whatever it is, make it fun. I now looking back, I also went to the dentist. This was a couple of years ago. I was like an intermittent flosser. I was like, yeah, sure, I floss. Like, go to the dentist and you really pretend like, yeah, I floss like every day when it's like maybe once a week.
I flossed right before coming here for
sure. Yeah, I really flossed right before coming to the dentist. And so I got there and she was like, you need a ton of fillings. And I had never had any fillings in my life. And I was like, I'm old, I'm aging, and my teeth are falling out. And it was fine. I got my fillings. But after that moment, I was like, okay, I want to floss. Like, I want to have good teeth. I want to have teeth that last for a long time. And so now I feel so icky if I don't floss, but it is kind of interesting. And I kind of wish I had someone to brag to about it. And and then I have a water pick too. Oh my gosh, my teeth game. It's really changed.
I mean, I can tell through the screen. Those of you on LinkedIn cannot see this or listening to the podcast cannot, but Malia's teeth are gorgeous.
Oh wow. It's the water picking. But I love what you're saying. Yeah.
I was just gonna ask, do you get any pleasure from using the water pick? Do you enjoy it?
I do enjoy it. It feels so bizarre. Have you used one?
No. I've seen them.
You what? No. You have? No.
I haven't. No.
Oh, it's very it's such a weird sensation. Like I have no idea how to describe it, but it's kind of like a jacuzzi jet on your teeth. That's weird, right? That's a weird sensation.
That is weird. And
I love it. And I, you know, kind of talking about these straight A's and people pleasing, I'm also going to be a little braggy right now. The last time I went to the dentist to get my teeth cleaning, she said A+. This was the fastest teeth cleaning I've done all day or week. And I was like, I didn't know who to call after that because I felt so proud of myself. And I was like, who do I call? Because who do I just brag about the fact that my dentist said I got an A+? And so I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I did a good job. And she's like, great. Okay. But the reason why I'm bragging about this is because I think we need to normalize shameless bragging about things that do go well or things that we do focus on or we do have an intention around. And it's not to say that we can't brag about the other things. Like, it might even be, okay, I have this fitness goal, right? And I wanted to go 3 times a week to the class or whatever. And then let's say you go 1 day a week and you're like, you know what? I went 1 day a week for the last 5 months. And that feels great. And I'm really proud of myself because before this, I went 0 days a week. And so right. I'm just saying, shameless bragging, brag moments. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends. Mm-hmm. Something I love doing with my friends is like, hey, can we have a brag moment of something this week? And we'll just say whatever we feel really proud of ourselves for, regardless of what it is. Even if it's not meeting the standard of what your intention or goal is, if it's a little piece of it, that's a big deal.
Should we do that right now?
Yes. Okay. Woo, let's go. Yeah.
What do you want to brag about, Malia?
Okay. Well, since we're on the topic of fitness, I was saying every year, January 1st, I'm always like, whatever. I don't care about what I'm eating, what I'm fitnessing. You know, just like body positivity, feel comfortable in my body. This is a body. And it's felt really good, really amazing to have that for many years. It's just like, I love and accept my body where it is and I don't need to change it. This year, however, I got a gym membership and I am going to the gym 3 days a week. And it feels very bizarre actually to be in a fitness environment where for so many years I was like, oh, I hate this. I hate the whole like body shaming fitness thing. But this didn't start this week. This has been 5 months in the process. to get to where I am now. And speaking of these slow habitual moments, I broke my ankle, as you know. I had to go to physical therapy for 3 months, and I actually really loved it. I loved being physical in this kind of containered way, 2 days a week. And I joked saying that my physical therapists were my personal trainers. And I felt like I had like this fitness thing that I was going to every week, twice a week. And then my physical therapy ended in the middle of December. And I was like, I actually feel so much motivation right now. I feel really good in my body. I have loved and accepted and just embraced my body in the shape that it is. And I don't feel a need to change out of self-loathing or shame. But it feels like, ooh, this feels good. And I feel strong. And I actually feel motivated, again, following the focus of the fire that's inside of me right now. And I actually feel really proud of myself to follow those containers and follow that motivation that I already had that I didn't have to try really hard to get. Mm. I think that's the thing. It's like, this wasn't hard. This wasn't hard for me to like get to the gym. And what makes me curious is like, how long that took or what my body needed to feel in that space. Maybe it's something so small, like going to a park every day or once a week, and you just walk around the park a little bit. And maybe that thing is like the medicine, and maybe that starts to grow and a commitment starts to grow and a habit starts to form. And I've never really been one for habits, but somehow I've fallen into a habit and it's great. So I think for 2024, it's like, how can I fall into random habits?
I love that.
Yeah.
Allow the habits to
emerge. I'm really proud of that. This is my long-ended brag, is like, I'm really proud of myself to follow the motivations and the fire that's inside of me.
Yes. Yes. I will share my brag too. And before I do, I hear a piece that we've been sort of referencing. I don't know. I'm just curious, where did we get the idea that goals or resolutions have to be hard?
Yeah.
And have to be sort of like things we must do or should do rather than things that give us pleasure. Like what happens when our metrics and the things we set our sights on and our like numbers against are things that just feel really good.
I love that so much. I want to hear your brag. And I also want to mention going into this is that I did a meditation the other day, and it was kind of on this concept of intentions and where intentions are coming from and what starts to happen when we have a rigid goal or a feeling like, you know, we're saying I want 15K months. But really it's the feeling. What do I want to feel? And what is like 15K months feel like? What would that feel like? And maybe it's not the 15K, maybe it's the 8K, but the 8K feels like what the 15K would feel like. Who knows? But noticing, like, what is the feeling that I want? Okay, Julia, brag
to
me.
So good.
I
want
to hear it. Give it to me.
Well, I'm feeling inclined to go different directions just for range of our dialogue. But I do also want to say, like, I was always very resistant to, like, I'm never a sports kid. I tried a lot of sports and was bad at all of them. Like, never into like, I really didn't like working out. I got into running a little bit in my 20s. Like, the only physical activity I've genuinely enjoyed is hiking, really. I mean, I like a bit of, I don't know, swimming, walking, whatever. I can't run. My knees like explode every time I run. So that's out.
That's unfortunate. But, Exploding knees. Oh, goodness. Exploding knees. Very messy.
Not fun. Yeah. but what I realized is that I was focused on the wrong thing. And it was like short-term goals or like beating myself up or like, you know, it was from that place. And so actually what I'm really proud of is that some folks listening, and I know you know this, Malia, might know that I went through a whole like health journey from really like I became aware of it in 2021, but essentially I have an autoimmune disorder called Graves' disease, and it was making my heart rate really, really fast and like 129 beats per minute. And it meant that I really struggled to do like, you know, walking up. I had like a little tiny set of a few stairs going up to my bed, and I lived in this like lofted bed apartment for a bit. And like going up those stairs, I would be out of breath. If I was trying to do yoga and went from standing to like plank pose, at like out of breath. So I really wasn't doing a lot. And Graves' disease can also come with decrease in muscle mass. And so I was, I started medication when I got diagnosed with Graves' disease, and it dropped my heart rate and allowed me to start working out. And I started going to Orange Theory, actually. And the weights that I could lift when I first started, I had to like go over to the weight area, not to get something heavier, but to get like the smallest weights they had, because really like anything was so much for me. Like a 5 pound weight felt like a lot, because I just didn't have that muscle mass. And so it was like a really kind of slow climb. That was May 2021, right? And it's now January 2024. But I am so proud of the slow, consistent effort I've done. And it really is about, you said, how do I want to feel? I wanted to feel strong and have better endurance specifically for hiking, to be able to enjoy hiking more and go further distances, or, you know, and just like be out in nature longer. And I now am much more inclined towards the 25 pound weights most of the time, or, you know, we're doing, squats, you know, I'm going even higher. And it feels, it isn't about body image. It really is about feeling strong. And so my husband refers to it as the swole juju era.
I love a swole juju.
And so that I feel really proud of. And I also want to say, because I feel like we're talking a lot about, yes, brags, celebrations. And do you want to say, like, no matter how many things felt really good, there was mental health stuff I was always struggling with through the year, whether it was around ADHD stuff or like holding on to some feedback I got from someone, or like an uncomfortable conversation with a friend. For months, like over a year ago, a conversation I had will pop up in my brain and I'll be like, oh, I guess I'm a terrible friend, or, you know, I'm a terrible coach, or like these things are always present. You know, senses like struggling with comparing myself to others, especially if you're like very present on social media, it's so easy. And especially if you run your own business, this stuff happens. And so I think, you know, my goals for this year, the things that are really on my mind are really like moving through some of that stuff, also in a very non-smart goal way. But, you know, trying to notice when people pleasing comes up and understanding the source of it in those moments. But also like knowing how other people's expectations and, you know, ancestral expectations or family expectations drive decisions that I don't want to make. And really trying to notice those things first and then shift away from them. And that feels, it's completely different energy from start of the year goal setting I've ever made before. Like this time last year, I was about to run my first retreat, which you collabed with me on, which was so fun. But it was
my highlights of the year.
It was a huge highlight for me. And it really started the energy of last year as like pushing a boulder up a mountain kind of vibe. It was like the whole promoting the retreat, organizing all the logistics, like collaborating with you from on a creative perspective and then in person, that was the best part. And the folks
if who only it could be that easy.
Right. But you know, so many different parts of it, I really was like, I need to go hard and check things off my list. And this energy of really like pushing hard. Yeah. And I'm starting in a very different place of like, how can I notice when I'm following other people's expectations and
change that? I love that so much. How can I notice when I'm following other people's expectations? It brings in this energy of openness and witnessing. And I think a lot of what we've been talking about today is around that feeling, curiosity. Like it doesn't always have to move forward direction, which I think is the new year's like, I must move forward. I must do it all. But sometimes that growth or that curiosity is just in the mud, like being in the mud and listening to it.
Listen to the mud.
Listen to the mud. Yeah. Like I noticed that too in feeling the same way. It's there's something like, I don't know. There's something very strong in me right now that says, don't set a goal. Don't set a quote unquote, like, you know, boxed in goal, but like have that focus of that fire. And also there's a feeling of just openness of listening to the waves of the emotions and noticing when I want to get stuck in those areas, but let it be cyclical. Let it be a wave. Let there be movement. And it sounds like what you're saying too is like for the first time in a long time going into a new year, it's like, ooh, I just kind of want to be with all of the things and witness it and learn from it. Like, I think I always love that too. It's just, I say I've been on this accommodation, you know, not to be mistaken with reasonable accommodations, but like being so accommodating towards other people. And really the time that the first like moment I had a big aha about this was in 2022. And it was September 2022. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And I see these patterns show up again and again and again and again and again and again. And I saw them come up a lot this year. And each time it feels like a layer shed. Like I can come back more into exactly what you said. Like, when am I trying to please other people and their expectations? And it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen slowly and with time and in repetition. And you're going to have to see these moments so many times. Like, I know this Christmas was one of them. And I was like, this isn't the end, but it feels pretty big.
Yeah. So this is more on us starting the slow goals movement.
The slow goals movement. Ooh.
Unless someone's already done
excited.
That.
I am excited.
If so, you know let what? Us know.
If someone's done it, let us know. But also, I think we all have different angles and perspectives of it. And I actually am really curious of everyone who's listening here and who's listening on the podcast is what are your slow goals? What is that feeling that you are either wanting or moving towards? And also, like, what is that, what is your slow goal? What is your slow habit? And
yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna say, who is here to help you and support you and nourish you? Like having your team or having your resources, like who is in your resources? So you're not here to do it on your own, whether it's a fancy app that makes sense to your brain or a bullet notebook that Julia really loves or your best friend or your partner or somebody that you hire, a coach, a trainer, a teacher, a class in some way, or maybe it's your dog. You know, maybe that motivates you. Maybe that like those cuddles make you feel really good to help you going along without feeling like you are alone on this journey.
Yeah, it's very much shifting into nourishment energy. Expansive, joyful, pleasurable, nourishing energy, and away from limiting, self-bashing, constraining, depleting energy, which is, I think, like the norm for how we think of goals.
Yeah.
And I know someone who has a very expansive, and I think like lifelong, goal and practice, who shared with us in the comments of the event page, Adrian Pašić, who's also a coach and, does a lot of early career development. And, we see each other also in like entrepreneur, mentorship settings. We see each other a lot. Adrian, said that her goal is to take time at the sea, river, lake, bodies of water, and to spend time in prayer, reflection, planning, which is so, lifelong and supportive and feels so like that slow goal setting.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah, I went on a little trail the other day and I was like, wow, trees are great. Make that my goal. Just being with a tree, any tree, doesn't matter. It could be in my front yard or wherever.
Yeah.
This all reminds me of one of the things we discussed before, which was how things work for you.
Yes.
Like learning how things work for you instead of you working for them or in the structure of them. And that could really be in anything. Is how do things work for me in the way that I function? And this is why I geek out so much about human design, is we're all so unique and we all have different ways of moving through this world with different talents and different insights. And we're all meant to be in collaboration with one another in those ways. So instead of the boxes are fitting into the boxes, it really is like, how does this work for me? How can this help me in the way that my brain works or my body works?
Right. Recognizing that goals look different to meet different needs. It reminds me also of something that I started asking myself when I got diagnosed with ADHD, which is what is the most joyful way to do this thing? So it's, as we're talking about all of these like I was setting goals out of pleasure and joy and nourishment. There are still obviously things like washing dishes, like things that need to happen in adulting life that are not always fun. But I love applying that same question to goal setting of like, what is the most joyful or pleasurable or fun way to do this thing?
And
rather
also,
than like, yeah.
If that's throwing out the goals, then throw out the goals.
Throw out the goals. Yes.
Just throw them out. Find a new way. Find a way that works for you.
Yeah. If it feels like you're beating yourself up, don't do it.
Don't do it. For the sake of all our hearts, don't do it. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been so much fun talking about this. And I hope all of you who are listening feel a little bit more embodied in some way and trusting of your own heart and intuition and brain and body, and can move with this intention, kind of talking about the themes of curiosity, of pleasure and joy, of listening, of being in those slow habits, and how that moves and brings focus to direction in your life. But Julia, is there anything last you want to say before we do our little ending mm-hmm. little bits?
I want to share some gratitude with you, Malia, but also with everyone who has listened to our awesome little accidental podcast as we get back into it. And we can call it season two if we want, this is such a good example of something that was started from a place of pleasure and nourishment and joy and sharing we didn't really put expectations or hefty goals around it. It was just, let's experiment and try this and see if it feels fun. And it did feel fun. And then we needed a break and now it feels fun again.
It does feel fun.
And so I want to, you know, thank you, Malia, for being such a joyful friend, a wonderful friend, and someone who's so pleasurable to talk to. And I want to thank the people who have listened and are listening and are sharing our podcast. And if you want to catch older episodes, previous episodes, you can go to hearttickles.podbean.com. And yeah, just so grateful as we start this new year that we are carving out this space to exist as our whole complex, messy selves.
And Julia and I love talking, clearly. We love sharing also. So find us on LinkedIn and connect with us. We love building relationships with others. We love just the dynamics of possibility. And if there are any topics or challenges that you're noticing or seeing in your working environment or kind of your personal growth environment, let us know. And we would love to talk about those topics, maybe even get into kind of sample coaching in those ways. But that is something that makes our brains and hearts tickle. Thank you very much. So we would just love to hear from you in that way. And thank you all for being here, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll see you next time.